With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here to bring you the preview show ahead of Bayern Munich's match in the Bundesliga against Heidenheim. Man, I guess this one lost a little bit of steam after Bayern was upset and rocked by Borussia Dortmund 2-0 last weekend. Bayern Munich is essentially out of the Bundesliga race, although mathematically speaking, they have a chance. Realistically, Leverkusen is not going to drop enough points for that to happen, and it's very questionable whether Bayern Munich would be able to capture enough points on their own anyway to even be in the mix for that. So for all intents and purposes, Bayern Munich's domestic season is over. And while the Bayern Munich executives were pretty angry with Thomas Tuchel for stating as much, the reality is that Bayern is done and they can look forward to the Champions League. But anything from this point forward in the league season probably doesn't mean a whole lot. And that is what worries me about this match, among a couple of other things. So just because you see Heidenheim as the opponent, it does not mean this is going to be a pushover by any stretch of the imagination. Bayern Munich is in a situation where this is a true trap game, and they could be looking forward to next week's tilt against Arsenal. And if Bayern Munich isn't too sharp in this one, Heidenheim could catch them sleeping. It wouldn't be the first time this season that Bayern was dropped by a lower-ranked opponent. So, like we always do on the preview show, we'll get a start by looking at where each team is in the table. And if you know this Bayern Munich side, you totally understand that they have, I don't want to say wasted this season because that would be disrespectful in some ways, but they have not maximized their potential for the season. And whether you blame it on the coach or you blame it on the players, the executives, or a mix of all of them, it hasn't been good enough. And I think that's the bottom line for everyone. So in the league, Bayern Munich is in second place through 27 match days. They have 19 wins, 3 draws, 5 losses. That is good for 60 points. The problem with those 60 points is that it puts them 13 points behind Bayer Leverkusen. That is astonishing. I mean, we could go on and on about Leverkusen's terrific season, but 13 points ahead of Bayern Munich, that is crazy. If you would have put that stat in front of me back in August, I would have laughed. I would have said, no way. You could have convinced me that some other club might catch Bayern Munich, that they might sprint ahead of Bayern and capture the league. But if you would have told me it would be Leverkusen, 13 points ahead of Bayern, I definitely would have had a nice chuckle at that. And now I'd be eating a big crow sando because Leverkusen has been excellent. They haven't lost all season, and Bayern's been a disappointment. As far as Bayern Munich goes, they have 78 goals for, 33 against. Not awful by any stretch of the imagination. That's good for a goal differential of 45. Over the course of their last 5 Bundesliga matches, Bayern Munich has 3 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. Of course, last week was that 2-0 defeat at the hands of Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund was excellent in the match in terms of keeping Bayern Munich off balance. Mats Hummels put in probably his best showing in years, and everything just came together. It was not a Bayern Munich team that looked focused or determined, and they paid the price for it. And you have to wonder, will Bayern Munich be able to put together that kind of effort that is required to get a win in the Bundesliga this week against Heidenheim? And this is not a shabby Heidenheim team, but it is also not one that is a powerhouse, nor is it one that is riding a hot streak at the moment. So let's take a look at where they are. Heidenheim is in 11th place of the Bundesliga table through 27 match days. They have 7 wins, 9 draws, 11 losses. It's good for 30 points. It actually ties them with Werder Bremen. Sorry, Marco Polo. The only difference between 10th place Werder Bremen and 11th place Heidenheim is the goal differential, which is a scant one. Heidenheim has 38 goals for 47 against. That is a -9 goal differential. Werder Bremen's is -8. Over the course of Heidenheim's last 5 Bundesliga matches, they have 3 draws and 2 losses. Last week was a 3-3 battle against VfB Stuttgart in a match that Stuttgart absolutely needed to have. So it tells you that this Heidenheim team, which is a bunch of no-names for the most part, is scrappy, they're tough, they're determined, they're focused, and they would love nothing more than to take down Bayern Munich, just like they gave Stuttgart a battle last week. Now, Stuttgart, had they won that match against Heidenheim, would be in a great spot to overtake Bayern Munich for second place. But that's it. Being said, Stuttgart still trails Bayern Munich by 3 points, which is really, I mean, it's something that could happen. If Bayern Munich comes out unfocused and they can't get it together over the course of these last few games of the Bundesliga season, Stuttgart could overtake them. I don't expect it to happen. I would hope that the professionals within the locker room at Bayern Munich would be able to fight off anything going on in there, whether it's discontent or whether it's just malaise, whatever the case. I know that they all understand the league is lost, but they still need to continue to fight and they still need to try and put together the best possible finish that they can. Sure, it is absolutely disappointing that they will not be champions this season, but it took a wonderful season from Bayer Leverkusen and a very disruptive and, quite frankly, underachieving season from Bayern Munich for that to happen. So hopefully the players take it upon themselves to finish this season strongly. But, you know, we've seen it in the past that once the league is determined, usually in a good way for Bayern Munich, that there can be some, I keep using that word focus because it is so prevalent with how you describe this team, but there can be a lack of focus by the players in the locker room, which can result in some late season losses. So this is clearly a match that Bayern Munich should win. It's one that there is no more massive discrepancy in talent among the top 15 teams in the Bundesliga than Bayern and Heidenheim. But this Heidenheim team, which features Jan-Nicholas Best, who made his, well, actually, I shouldn't say made his debut, but he was called up for the German national team. So they have some star quality talent, but this is a team that is built around functioning as a unit, playing together. It's truly a team in every sense of the world. I mean, this Heidenheim squad should not be in the top 10, 12, 13, however you consider them. They shouldn't be within that range of the Bundesliga, but they are, and they've done it, and this has been a pretty consistent season for them. You know, we talked about their most recent 5 matches, and there aren't any wins included in there, but it tells you, like, this team will continue to fight. They will continue to battle. I mean, even in those 2 losses, those were 1-goal losses. You go back to March 8th against Augsburg, that was a 1-0 loss. You could go back to March 1st against Eintracht Frankfurt, that was a 2-1 loss. I mean, it's not as if Heidenheim is going out there and getting crushed. So I expect them to give Bayern Munich a battle. I do not think this is going to be an easy match. And if Bayern Munich is not focused, I truly believe this could be a trap game where Bayern Munich gets upset or they get caught up in a draw, which would, again, make them very susceptible to Stuttgart catching up with them or even surpassing them potentially in the coming weeks. So Bayern Munich also, aside of all of that going on in the background, they're dealing with some injury issues as they always seem to be, but this week it's a little bit more serious. And when you look at this Bayern Munich squad after the defeat at Borussia Dortmund, you can fully expect that Thomas Tuchel's going to want to make changes. Tuchel was going to ride that hot hand until it lost. He was going to take those players as long as they were healthy and continue to use them. And quite frankly, that's what he should have done. And he should have continued to do that. And if they would have won last week, I would fully expect to see the same 11 again. However, they did lose, and now it opens Tuchel up the opportunity to mix and match his lineup again. This is not something that has been ultra successful in terms of making the game aesthetically pleasing for Bayern Munich or even functional at times. Every time Tuchel starts to mix and match, we start to see some disruption. The attack really starts to look disjointed. There's miscommunication on the back line. The middle of the field will absolutely be unbalanced. These are all the things that we have seen happen this season once Tuchel starts to tinker too much. But that's what's going to happen, because now he has to figure out how he can put together his best 11 at the moment to face Arsenal. So players that you've seen like Thomas Muller, Matthijs de Ligt, Eric Dier, Leon Goretzka, they all, even Joshua Kimmich potentially, they all could find themselves in very precarious positions. So we'll see what happens with how Tuchel selects his 11, and we will have a prediction on that a little bit later. But there are some injuries to account for. And man, there are some key players that are out. Now, a couple of things we do know is that Rafael Guerrero and Alexander Pavlovich returned to team training, which is a good thing. Pavlovich, of course, was battling tonsillitis, so hopefully that is all taken care of. Bayern Munich really needs his steadying presence. It seems crazy to say that about such a young kid, but he's been really good for Bayern Munich this season. On Tuesday, we saw Leroy Sané and Kingsley Coman leave practice early, and a lot of people assumed it was for workload management. In fact, most of the media outlets in Germany gave that reason for why the two players left the session early. We would come to find out early on Wednesday that Sané and Coman are both banged up. They both could not finish their Wednesday sessions, so now they are in doubt for the match. Also in doubt, Manuel Neuer, who is still working out individually. He has not even started goalkeeping drills yet. That is a rough one, because Sven Ulreich, as much as we all like him, was not good against Dortmund last week. Doesn't mean that he's going to come out and throw a stinker up against Heidenheim, but you want Manuel Neuer there because he does change everything about the way the team functions and plays on the pitch. Nusar Mizrahi missed practice on Tuesday. No word on what's going on with him. Many people are assuming that that was just a maintenance day, as we like to call it in the United States, a load management day, but we will see. It's not as if Bayern is always honest with the injuries and why players are not at practice. It's certainly a situation where Mizrahi is not a first-choice player at this point because of Joshua Kimmich's move to right back, but you would still like to have that option there. Oh, boy. So we covered all of those injuries, and when you talk about Sané and Coman, it's not a massive loss if either player could not play against Heidenheim. It's nothing against the talent level or the performances of either player, though they both have not been great in the second half of the season here. Coman mostly because he's been injured, Sané because he's been in a slump since mid-November. But it would actually probably be better for Sané if he's, I hate saying this, if he's injured enough to not be able to play on Saturday, because it would allow him to not just start to get healthy with whatever injury is bothering him at the moment, but it would also allow him to get some rest. And it would take the temptation away from Thomas Tuchel to play Sané, because he cannot resist it. And this has been one of the ongoing issues for Bayern Munich all season, is that Tuchel has a couple of players that he will run into the ground. He did it earlier with Dayo Upamecano and Kim Min-jae, to the point where I think they both fell out of form. They both started to get banged up. And we're seeing that with Sané right now. And it's disappointing, because you want a manager that's going to have a feel for when guys need a rest, and a manager that's going to have confidence in the players behind a winger like Sané, so that you could be able to have confidence and use those players to be able to come in and fill gaps. It does not seem as if Tuchel has that confidence. So we've seen this situation where you have players banged up, and why Sané is even out there trying to practice if he wasn't feeling 100% is ridiculous at this point. And yes, some of this is on the player, because he has to know his own body and he has to understand when he's injured, he needs to be healthy. This has been something that has plagued him since mid-November, when he started to look fatigued and run down. And then we start to hear that, yeah, maybe he's been battling some lingering issues. But so it's really up to him to be able to communicate that to the physios and say, like, I just need a couple of days here, or I need some time. And Tuchel will not give him that time. And I don't know if it's because Tuchel just loves Sané that much, or if he is sort of in fear of Sané, because as we saw last week when Sané was removed from the Borussia Dortmund match, where he clearly was not up at 100% or even close to it, kind of threw a temper tantrum again. And was he frustrated with himself? Was he frustrated with being removed from the match? I don't know. It hasn't been fully explained that I've seen. But having that type of volatile attitude, especially after months and months of a slump, it just doesn't come across good to anybody. And honestly, I do think at times Tuchel has been scared to bench Sané, especially in recent weeks where he just hasn't been good. And it's a shame, because if you think about his form in the beginning of the season, again, I said this on the flagship show earlier this week, you're talking about a guy that was a top five player in the world based on form at that moment. And now he is a guy who is struggling to really prove that he's one of the top four attackers on this Bayern Munich team at the moment. So Sané is definitely the key injury that Bayern Munich will have to monitor for this weekend. Manuel Neuer is more key for the Champions League match against Arsenal, I would say. So if Neuer needs more time, by all means, give it to him. And Sven Ulreich has to be better than he was against Dortmund. That is for sure. So you would love to see Neuer out there starting. You would love to see Sané feeling great and confident. You would love to have the option of Kingsley Coman, but you might not have that this weekend. And we'll see if that plays a role in how Tuchel selects his team, or how really Bayern Munich approaches anything. I mean, they have other longer-term injuries here with Bounazar and Sacha Boué and Tarek Buchmann. But when you think about this weekend, you really want to focus on how good is Pavlovic feeling after that bout with tonsillitis? Where is Sané at in terms of his health? And can Coman come back, and can he be ready after missing so much time already with an injury? There's just a lot of variables here for Bayern Munich and for Thomas Tuchel at the moment. Hang in there for a second. We're going to take a quick break. Then we are going to come back and we're going to talk about a couple of things pertaining to Bayern Munich, their recent form, and why fans probably need to come to grips with the disappointment of this season, because it doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the preview show. Appreciate you hanging in there. As I said before we took that break, one of the topics I did want to hit on was the disappointment of this season. And fans have reacted in a bunch of different ways. When you go onto social media, it's really two camps. It is one camp that is like, burn it all down. This team, the whole roster sucks. Tuchel sucks. Everybody sucks. BFW sucks. Chuck's an idiot. I Need No Name is scared of everything. And now he's going into a hole because Bayern is losing the league. You would hear everything, right? Because the people are off the deep end because Bayern Munich has been so good for so long. You just expect things to work out. Well, they aren't working out. They haven't been working out. And fans now are checking out. One of the unique things about BFW is we get to see the engagement behind the scenes in terms of who's coming in and checking the site, what stories they're looking at. And I'll tell you, in all the years that I've been at BFW since we really started to grow, this is starting to be one of the more down periods where I think fans are fed up and they're just fatigued themselves. And it's been a tough season. And you think about, like, why has this been so tough? Why does everyone feel so deflated about watching this team? And why are they now more reluctant to even read about this team? You have to look at a couple of things. And I go back to, you know, the frustration, even for me, started with the Flick saga and carried through, right? And that's going back too long now. But that's where a lot of people became frustrated, because you had something that was working. And because of interpersonal dynamics, it all fell apart. Then there was the Nagelsmann era, where everything looked like fans needed to invest into this five-year plan, that the club needed to invest into it. So you started to buy in. And even these failures that you would see in real time, you would say, this is all part of the bigger picture. This is all building to something. It's all part of the plan. But then the plan got cut off a year and a half into it. And then all of the fallout that followed, you saw the executives get sacked. You saw the hiring of Tuchel, all of this that happened. And then this season with Tuchel was just one kick in the junk after another. And it started out bad with his criticism of players. It started out with Bayern Munich getting rocked by Leipzig in the Super Cup. And while there were good results earlier in the season, many fans felt like I did, saying that a win is not just a win in this case. Something is wrong. And there was that big battle that we covered in depth where the win is a win is a win crowd versus the people that were worried about what was going on. And it was a very heated exchange, and there were arguments all the time. I had people on my own staff at BFW calling me out, you know, and listen, those are the things that happen. These are the discussions that people have. But in the end, you got to call it like you see it. And there was a big section of fans that were like, this just doesn't look right. I don't like the way that this team's playing. I don't like how Tuchel's handling these players or even talking about them. And eventually, all of this would come to a head. And now we're seeing the end result of it. And that's that this Bayern team is completely underachieving. They could never get to their full potential under Tuchel, and that the club realized that they needed to move on from Tuchel. And now you just have the disappointment. And people are reacting in a couple of different ways. There is that extreme anger. There is apathy, which is what we're seeing a lot of. And there really is a lot of, I think, it sounds weird to say, but there's a lot of sadness about the way it played out, because you had this initial excitement when you bring in Harry Kane. And you're surrounding him with all of this attacking talent, yet you see that the ideas and the strategies weren't necessarily working to get the most out of this team. Kane was functioning as a midfielder for all intents and purposes for a good portion of the season. We saw the attack around him become disjointed, and we saw things like we saw under Julian Nagelsmann, where players like Sané and Musiala and Gnabry and Coman started getting more chances than Kane, which is ridiculous. So fans, yeah, they got frustrated. And now this all snowballed and built up to the point where people are now checking out on the season. And it's disappointing to see, because this is a ride for everybody, right? We all jump on this roller coaster at the beginning of the season, and there are ups and downs and twists and turns. And the sad thing is that this team and the way it's played, and the coach and everything that has gone into it, the executives, it's been so poor that they have beaten people down. And that is tough to watch. It's tough to see. And I think there's a lot of extremism when it comes to the hate being directed at the team. There's a lot of extremism talking about everybody needs to go. I mean, it's not the case, and it couldn't happen anyway. But this is what has happened. This is where the team and the club has pushed people at this point. And sure, there are a lot of people out there that would point the finger and say Bayern fans are spoiled. They can't handle not winning the league. But it does go way deeper than that. At some point, Bayern was going to lose its stranglehold on the Bundesliga, right? We all knew the day was coming. I don't think anybody expected it to be this year and expected it to be in this fashion, where Bayer Leverkusen is simply an unbeatable force, that Bayern Munich is an underachieving group of players led by a coach that couldn't connect with them. And for people to go day to day and follow the team and all of these ups and downs, and certainly more downs than ups, it was very frustrating. So we're at the point now where we look at things at BFW, and I was saying this to a couple of people on the staff, like we're going to be at the point where people aren't going to come back until summer, because they've just had it. And listen, life is frustrating enough. You kind of look at football as a release from it. That's something you want to enjoy. That even if your team loses, as long as they're putting in the proper effort and they look fun and entertaining, you can deal with a loss. But it just hasn't been that way. Even though some of the wins have been extremely tough to watch. And when I say some, I mean most. So we had a brief respite there where things looked good. Bayern had that 3-game stretch where, you know, I was excited. And I will tell you, and I'll admit it, I wanted to be excited. I wanted to like how they were playing. I wanted to believe that Tuchel was finally going to put everything behind him that had happened, and he was just going to focus on doing what was best for the team. Well, didn't work out. Last week, they came out flat. They came out dejected because Leverkusen had clawed back in a miraculous fashion against Hoffenheim. And the team just, quite frankly, could not get it together mentally before the match to be able to put forth a great effort. When you had that disappointment entering the game, and then you had Harry Kane banged up still from his injury that happened before the international break, you had Zane clearly at not 100%. Even Thomas Muller was, quite frankly, not good in that game. There wasn't much you could hang your hat on for what was working. I mean, Leon Goretzka looked great for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, bang, he gets paired up with Konrad Laimer, and neither player was good. I mean, Matthijs de Ligt was good. Again, he had a great stretch and gets hung out to dry in a 1v1 against Kareem Adeyemi, and it's a position where, yes, not a fair position. He had no help on the play. Kimmich was nowhere to be found. Bad turnover by Muller, quick counter. You just want de Ligt to be able to make a play there, and he almost did, but that slight bit of hesitation, that slight bit of reluctance to go in to try and close Adeyemi down allowed that shot to go off. And hey, maybe if Neuer's there, he makes the save, but Neuer wasn't there. So it goes in on a shot Ulreich definitely should have stopped. And again, you, as deflated as Bayern Munich was entering that match, that goal sealed the deal. That was the nail in the coffin because they fell apart mentally after that. You just definitely wouldn't want to see a team with as many veterans, as many players who have won at the highest level. You wouldn't want to see them fall apart like that, but they did. And you need a great coach to prevent that from happening. And while Tuchel is great in terms of strategy and tactics and maybe even building a team, just not this one, maybe he has all those good qualities, but it's not syncing up with this squad. And no matter whether you like Tuchel or you hate him, it's not working. And this was a primary danger that Bayern Munich put itself in by keeping him around. When you made the decision to fire him, you needed to let him go. And the retort to that is always, well, who would you bring in? It doesn't matter. Because the relationship between the coach and these players, no matter what is said in the media, no matter what the club puts out, it's broken. And it has been broken. And you're not going to get the best of everyone. You're not going to get the best of the coach because he can't be effective working with a group of players that maybe aren't bought into everything he's saying. You're certainly not going to get the best from the players who, for whatever reason, have not connected with this coach. So very disappointing from Bayern Munich this season. I know fans are absolutely at their wits' end with all of this, but you got to hang in and enjoy it. Hey, I can't tell you how to spend your time, but there are far worse things you could be doing than hanging in and watching Bayern Munich as they try and close out the season. And who knows? Maybe they will be able to mount some rally starting next week against Arsenal in the Champions League. And maybe they'll make it all worthwhile for all fans who have hung in there. Hang with us. We're going to take one quick break. Then we're going to wrap up the show, taking a guess at Tuchel's lineup. And we'll take a quick look back at how the first match between Bayern Munich and Heidenheim worked out this season. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the preview show. Thanks for hanging in there. A couple of quick things before we get out of here. Let's take a look back quickly at Bayern Munich's game against Heidenheim earlier in the season, which was very interesting to say the least. We did see several good things in that game, but there was also signs that things might not be perfect or really might not be trending in the right direction under Tuchel. And if you think about this, this was back in November. Bayern Munich was not playing great at the time, but they did jump out to a 2-0 lead behind a couple of goals from Harry Kane, which were both assisted by Leroy Sané before his season was about to fall off a cliff, which it's crazy to think about, but that's kind of where that it was at this point. To its credit, Heidenheim, like we talked about earlier in the show, was able to claw its way back into the game because this is what they do. I mean, they're a tough-minded team who does not give up. They made it 2-2 in the 70th minute. Rafael Guerrero answered with a goal in the 72nd minute, just 2 minutes later, to put Bayern Munich up. And then we did see Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting in the 85th minute give Bayern its fourth goal to make the game finish at 4-2. So while it was looking like it was going to be a blowout earlier in the match, Heidenheim showed some fight. They got back into it. And listen, they made a game of it. And that's fully what I'm expecting them to do in this one. So this will be very, very interesting, to say the least. And what is at the forefront of a lot of people's minds is, what will Thomas Tuchel do with his lineup? Now, we have to try and guess this, but acknowledging those variables with Neuer, Sané, and Coman, it's going to be very tough to pick what Tuchel's going to do, especially because he could be looking at shaking up the back line, because he needs to see what will work against Arsenal on Tuesday. So I don't know anything about what Tuchel's thinking. I'm just feeling like this is going to present a lot of changes in this match to the lineup. So in goal, I think we'll see Sven Ulreich, because I think Neuer needs a little more time, and Bayern Munich is not going to want to risk him with the Arsenal games coming up. So we'll see Ulreich in goal. At center back, it gets very interesting, because De Ligt and Dier were not great last week. They weren't horrible by any means, but you know, from where they were previously, it was not a terrific effort. So this could give Tuchel the opportunity to see what he has left in Upamecano and Kim Min-jae. So I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that's who he uses. Now, if he doesn't use Kim Min-jae and Upamecano, this is probably not a good indication for those two players of where they are in the pecking order, because if there was a time to go back to what Tuchel thought was working earlier in the season with the Frenchman and the South Korean, it's right now. This is the opportunity to give them a game to get right against Heidenheim, and then to jump right into the Champions League against Arsenal. I think that's how he's going to go. And I think he can spin it any way he wants to. He can say, I want to rest De Ligt and Dier. And he can say, you know, I need them rested and healthy for the Champions League. But he could also turn around and say, if Upamecano and Kim Min-jae have great games, he can say, I want to ride the hot hand. So this gives Tuchel some flexibility as to what he can do against Arsenal on Tuesday if he switches up the back lines. I'm going to predict that. I'm probably going to be wrong with it. He could just be at the point where he just wants to ride this out and doesn't want to create any more conflict than has already been created this season. But I will go for chaos and change things up. At left back, I think we'll see Alphonso Davies. At right back, Joshua Kimmich. Again, we don't know the official state of Mizrahi at this point, but I think Tuchel will continue to ride Kimmich. In the central midfield, I think we'll see Leon Goretzka and Alexander Pavlovich. Pavlovich, if he's healthy, should get the call. It can't, honestly. Pavlovich at 80% might be better than Konrad Laimer at this point. Laimer just doesn't fit. I like the guy, and I think he's a good player, and I've said this ad nauseum this season, but he just doesn't fit at Bayern Munich. Not the style of player they need for that position, so I firmly anticipate that he's going to be moving on this summer. In the attack is where it gets really interesting, because I'm going to assume that Sané and Coman are not going to start. I'm going to assume that Tuchel is going to find a way to get past his fascination with starting Leroy Sané, and that he's going to be able to do what's right, and that's give the guy some rest. So I'm going to say Harry Kane at striker, Thomas Muller behind Kane with Musiala and Serge Gnabry on the wings. Gnabry has been pretty good since he's come back. I mean, he's been effective and productive. Musiala has turned his season around by moving to the wing. Big shock. And Thomas Muller, aside of last week, has been really good. So I think this is the way that Tuchel needs to go for this match. So we'll recap it. Ulreich, Upamecano, Kim Min-jae, Kimmich, and Alphonso Davies. That will be your defense. Central midfield of Goretzka and Pavlovic in the midfield. And then the attack of Kane, Muller, Musiala, and Gnabry. So that's what I think Tuchel will do. As far as how this game will go, it is a trap game. And this could obviously be a situation where Bayern Munich gets caught and Heidenheim sneaks them. And Heidenheim steals a point, or maybe even 3 points at home. It could happen. It absolutely could happen. I'm really worried about Bayern Munich looking past this match and focusing on Arsenal. So I think it's going to be a little bit tighter than it probably should be. I'm going to say that Bayern Munich is going to win 3-2. I know it sounds weird, and I know you might not think Heidenheim has the firepower to put up two goals, but I think they're going to take some chances. I think they're going to start to fire away at Ulreich and try and test him early. And I think if they can do successfully what some of the other clubs have done against Bayern, which is look for that quick counter and find those center backs out of position, because quite frankly, the outside backs really don't offer much support. I think this could be a dangerous spot for Bayern Munich. And as I said, I am super worried about their focus on this with Arsenal looming right around the corner. So 3-2 Bayern Munich. Hopefully it plays out that way. Would be nice for them to get a win heading into the Champions League showdown with Arsenal. That'll wrap up this preview show. As always, you can get me at the Barrel Blog on Twitter. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get this podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. You can get our tweetmeister, Tom Adams, at TommyAdams71. You can get Siler at BFWSiler. You can always get all of our great writers and podcasters at BavarianFootballWorks.com. We have all of your latest Bayern Munich and German national team news coverage. So check us out there. Enjoy the match this weekend. Have a couple of beers on me, and we will see you next time.